Radio Daily for halfway day. Getting there, my friends. Just came back. Almost time to go again. It's so fun. It's so weird. And it's so crazy. All those wrapped up into one bit of sugary confetti. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 11th of May with the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing to you today, the man that's got a weird way of lightening the mood. Pep talks are weird. That there's a podcast is your secret.
Yes. Well, shall we begin our unholy tumble into rank and seedy debauchery?
I'm just saying lead up to things is all I'm saying. And me, I'm the guy that says, yeah, it's the customers. All of them. I'm the one for Billy Flynn.
He is starting to damage my calm.
Calm damaging. It's never good. What happened on this fantastic day, sir?
Well, in 868, the earliest explicably dated printed text is printed. The Diamond Sutra, a Buddhist scripture, is published. The sutra is a 16-foot scroll with 6 sheets of text printed from wood blocks and 1 sheet with a woodcut showing the Buddha with disciples and a pair of cats.
1949, the first Polaroid camera sold in New York City for $90.
1951, Jay Forrester files a patent application for the Matrix Core Memory.
1953, 20th Century Fox reduces the aspect ratio of CinemaScope from 266 to 1 to 255 to 1 and reduced the sprocket holes or the fox holes to a size slightly smaller than the conventional Bell and Howell. And it means you're going to buy a whole branch of new system and stuff from them.
1955, the film Revenge of the Creature, the first sequel to the classic monster movie Creature from the Black Lagoon, is released to U.S. theaters. The film is notable as being the only sequel to a 3D film also shot in 3D. It is also the first screen role for Clint Eastwood, who appeared as an uncredited lab technician early in the film.
1984, a transit of Earth from Mars occurs. A transit of Earth across the Sun as seen from Mars takes place when the planet Earth passes directly between the Sun and Mars, obscuring a small part of the Sun's disk for an observer on Mars. They occur every 26, 79, and 100 years, and every 1,000 years. Sorry, John Carter.
1987, the first heart-lung transplant takes place in Baltimore, Maryland.
1995, Sega of America began shipping the Saturn video game system to the U.S., and we know how that went.
Also, Thursday, May 11th through Saturday, May 13th, the first E3 Electronics Entertainment Expo was held in Los Angeles, California as a first-of-its-kind industry show.
1997, chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov concedes the 6th and final game against IBM's Deep Blue supercomputer after an hour and 19 moves. It's the first time a computer has beaten an international grandmaster in a multi-game match.
2004, in Los Angeles, California, Nintendo unveils the Nintendo DS handheld video game system featuring an ARM9 3D processor. Nintendo also announces that it's working on a new console, codename, and it should have stayed this name, The Revolution.
Same day in Los Angeles, California, Sony Computer Entertainment America unveils the Sony PlayStation Portable handheld video game system.
And also the AOL Mail, also known as AIM Mail, free web mail service, or web mail service, goes public. Accounts each have a 2 gig storage limit on their web mail service.
2005, Leroy Jenkins!
2006, Sergeant Nicholas Angel arrests the members of the local Neighborhood Watch Association, the NWA. Well, there's some in some hot fuzz.
2007, Washington Governor Christine Gregory signs the nation's first law banning text messaging while behind the wheel of a moving automobile.
And 2035, the National Science Foundation, NSF, lifts restrictions on the commercial use of David androids. So we have that to look forward to.
Well, he is charming. Birthdays?
Leticia Castilla is 44, from Asterisk and Obelix versus Caesar, Perla in Rio, the woman from the sea, and Wonder Woman Bloodlines.
Jeffrey Donovan is 54, from The Pretender, Blair Witch 2, Burn Notice, Sicario, and Fargo.
I absolutely love him, and he's also on, Law and Order, I think is the one.
Oh, probably.
That's out now. We've also got Rourke Critchlow, 59, Zoe's dad on Zoe 101, The V Remake, and Tom on Pretty Little Liars.
Francis Fisher is 70 from Titanic, Unforgiven, and Resurrection.
Born this day no longer with us in 1911, Phil Silvers from Sergeant Bilko, and It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
1920, Denver Pyle from The Andy Griffith Show, the 94 Maverick, but of course we all know him and love him as Uncle Jesse from The Dukes of Hazzard.
That's very true. 1927, Mort Saul, a legendary comedian and social satirist.
In 1982, Corey Monteith from Kraken, Tentacles of the Deep, Final Destination 3, and stole many a heart as Finn on Glee.
on CBS. We've got Battle Royale on Survivor. Sweet. Are they finally giving them weapons? Ask a Monkey for help on a new Beyond the Edge and a new Federal Bureau of Investigation.
ABC's got a new Goldbergs, the Wonder Years, the Connors, and an unexpected source supports Maggie. Catherine spends time considering her history with Shanice and her future with Greta. Rome confronts a childhood bully. Sophie learns new details about Kai's relationship with Peter and a new Million Little Things.
NBC has the Chicago Trilogy with your mms, your fs, and your pms.
Over on Fox, it's Road to the Finals on a new Masked Singer. Then we've got Finale, The Sky's the Limit on a new Domino Masters.
How tall are they going to make up?
So tall.
CW, do we get a lesson on terminal velocity? CW, the members of Team Flash want the intensity of grief they're feeling from losing someone they love to decrease. Like every other friggin' episode of The Flash. So they focus on trying to stop a bank robbing Meta. Words are hard today. On a new The Flash and Kung Fu.
AMC has American Sniper.
FX, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon is Call of the Simpsons and The Telltale Head.
Not gonna lie, I just want to see Jimmy Fallon in a bunch of dinosaur costumes. Or maybe he has celebrities in the dinosaur costumes and they play games, and that's what like the new Jurassic World movie is. FXM! I don't really want that. The Call of the Wild.
BBC America has The Fugitive.
Oh, that classic British film. Full, chock full, lousy with British actors. Siffy has a Die Hard marathon.
Great sci-fi. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A woman's career of putting photos and videos of herself on stock photography websites suddenly leads to danger when a man starts stalking her and her husband. Chelsea Hightower and Mason D. Davis star in Stalked in Paradise.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Abby and Eli are tracking down a prime suspect who can help them find a so-far survivor out in the desert. Kate confronts an unexpected visitor, determined to keep business as usual. Now, Kate has said her prayers about this whole situation at Midnight Mass. She is centered and highly functional, although the thought that maybe there's something she hasn't planned on makes her turn scarlet. Hashtag check forever.
It's time to check your mailbox.
Welcome back from hiatus. GoldenEye was a great game. If you get the four screen version, I'll come play it. And then, of course, tells us exactly where Chad and Abby are this week. And that's from Mark. Oh, hi, Mark, as he's branding himself again, because it's hard to get people to come to a page versus a second Facebook setup. I think I said that right. If that made sense to you, by all means, won't you drop us a note and tell us? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail, text, message. You need the numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
He has a website that's easier to say.
Get the full spectrum of electronic selection at Tiger Squawk Records. TigerSquawkRecords.bandcamp.com, Facebook.com/TigerSquawkRecords. Industrial, goth, electronic rock, EBM, EDM, IDM, experimental and noise. Spanning the globe, direct to your earlobe, it's the record label with jumper cables, Tiger Squawk Records. TigerSquawkRecords.bandcamp.com, Facebook.com/TigerSquawkRecords.
Hi, this is Corin Nimick from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I mean, I saw what's Alan watching. You could have said that. That would have been cool.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's
a very serious book, man.
So serious, you'll find it at your local neighborhood comic shop this week. What else is going to be there?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Batgirls, number 6. Blood Syndicate, season 1, number 1 of 6. Sandman Universe Nightmare Country number 2. And you know the story. An infant escapes the destruction of its home planet and is deposited on Earth to be raised by human parents. A goddess from a lost city defends truth. A Tyrannosaurus Rex dons the visage of a bat to strike fear into evildoers' hearts. This heroic trinity, alongside a league of other superhero dinosaurs, join forces to save a prehistoric Earth from the sinister machinations of Darkseid. Okay, maybe you don't know the story. In Jurassic League, I see what they did there. One of six.
Over at Marvel, it's Hulk versus Thor, Banner of War, Alpha number one, King Conan, four of six, Moon Knight, Black White Blood number one of four, and Sam Wilson picks up the shield once more and enters a world of trouble. Following a lead from Misty Knight, Sam intercepts a mysterious group hijacking what appears to be an empty train, but as he digs deeper, he discovers that the plot may be connected to a crucial piece of Captain America's history, and surprisingly, Wakanda. The world is ready for two Captain Americas, but is Sam Wilson ready for what comes next? Find out in Captain America, Symbol of Truth, number one.
From Dark Horse, we've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Forgotten Myths wrapping up its three. Jenny Zero, Volume 2, Homeland Insecurities, one of four. Tales from Harrow County, Lost Ones, one of four. From Boom Studios, we've got Mighty Morphin, number 19. Seven Secrets, number 17. I guess they're not doing one per. And Jessica Harrow is dead, but her journey has only just begun. Discover the world of the afterlife, where Jessica has been recruited as a Reaper, tasked with ferrying countless souls to their final destination. But unlike the rest of the Reapers, she has no memory of what killed her and put her into this predicament. In order to unravel the mystery of her own demise, she'll have to solve an even bigger one. Where is the actual Grim Reaper in Grimm, number one?
At IDW Publishing, G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, 292. Kill Lock, The Artisan Wraith, 3 of 7. Star Trek Discovery, Adventures in the 32nd Century, number 3. Over at Image, it's crossover number 13. Lady Mechanica, The Monster of the Ministry of Hell, number 4. Loaded Bible, Blood of My Blood, 3 of 6. But if you had one wish, what would you wish for? Now, what if everyone else had one wish, too? Find out when exactly the same moment everyone on Earth gets a genie and one wish, all hell breaks loose in a very entertaining story, and that's just the beginning. Buckle in for the wildest ride of the year with 8 billion genies, one of eight.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view.
According to a new report, Netflix might finally be adding an ad-supported membership level. Allegedly, executives have told employees that the lower price subscription could come in the last 3 months of 2022, which is much sooner than anyone thought it would be. Now, talks of a lower tier plan held up by advertising have been around for years for them now, but it got louder at the beginning of the year, and then Netflix began losing so many subscribers due to a number of factors.
More price increases while promoting pseudoscience and canceling everything after two seasons? Yeah, a number of factors.
Our revenue growth has slowed considerably as our results and forecasts below show, Netflix executives previously said to shareholders in a press release. In a letter, these decision makers then shifted blame for the shortcomings to password sharing among users. The big COVID boost to streaming obscured the picture until recently. While we work to reaccelerate our revenue growth through improvements to our service and more effective monetization of multi-household sharing, we'll be holding our operating margin around 20%.
That's as confusing as behind our eyes. Dark, even Black Mirror.
All of this has led to shareholders suing Netflix. These individuals argued that they were once misled about the state of the company and the outlook for the future. In the document, the shareholders alleged that Netflix made materially false and/or misleading statements, as well as failed to disclose material adverse facts about the company's business, operations, and prospects. In particular, they took issue with the slower-than-forecasted growth for the streamer with information available to them.
Kind of like when they sent the third DVD on my list, but I was watching a series in order and needed the other DVD. Grandpa Simpson will say that next season.
The document itself adds, Netflix's positive statements about the company's business operations and prospects were materially false and or misleading and or lacked a reasonable basis, considering how they were exhibiting slower acquisition growth and experiencing difficulties retaining customers. Now look, honestly, getting the 600,000 they lost back is probably the best they can do. I mean, there were only 68 million people in the U.S. that didn't have Netflix. So unless you're going to improve rural broadband, provide free public Wi-Fi, or force the Amish to upgrade, we'll just have to wait and see what's next.
No matter how many technological changes occur, getting a new printer properly set up is still overly cumbersome. Somehow it never works on the first try, no matter the make or model. The device will probably function for three tries and then break down again. It is a universal frustration, so much so that scammers have taken advantage of people for some time. But now they are back in force and targeting Canon.
William Conrad. Oh, printers. Oh.
There are several fake websites run by scammers who claim to offer legit Canon printer drivers, a type of software that allows your operating system to control a specific piece of hardware. FTC complaints about Robinhood, Binance, Airbnb, Venmo, and Tinder have revealed similar patterns in the problems users face when using these internet companies' services.
See, we should never have moved past dot matrix.
I miss Joan Rivers. But with the Canon scam, the complaints are filled with tales of people who were simply trying to find a Canon driver for their printers and found themselves on a number of different sites where the fake drivers would fail to download. After that, a chat box would appear and customer service would offer to diagnose the problem. Sometimes the scammers would simply ask for money to fix the imaginary problem. Other times, the scammers would lure the unsuspecting victims into handing over remote access to their computers.
And get access to my Rosario Dawson folder? I don't think so.
The fake websites are fairly sophisticated and appear high in Google search results. Canon did not respond to multiple requests for comment, and it's unclear the company understands just how prolific these scammers are. But there's one agency that knows. The FTC. They're sitting on hundreds of complaints from users who were scammed while trying to download Canon printer drivers. Gizmodo obtained complaints from 2021 and are publishing 21 of them on their site to help others avoid scams. Needless to say, make sure you're actually visiting Canon's official website before downloading anything. And if you think you're talking to customer support and they ask to remotely view your computer, don't do it. Even if they promise to help you clear it, just say paper jam. Why does it say paper jam when there is no paper jam? I swear to God, one of these days I'm just kicking this piece of
A research led by Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, HKUST, has revealed a novel mechanism that regulates secretion of sonic hedgehog, SHH, a key signaling molecular that plays an important role in cancer progression in mammals, opening the door to novel therapeutic strategies for cancer induced by the hedgehog signaling pathway.
Sonic.
The hedgehog signaling pathway is instrumental in regulating embryonic patterning and facilitating the development of the central nervous system and organs of the human body. HH signaling is a major target for cancer therapy because this pathway, when hijacked by cancer cells, can promote cancer progression. However, all of the current HH antagonists function to inhibit the activity of major factors mediating HH signaling in target cells, but do not effectively block cancer progression, is promoted by the secreted HH ligands.
Is it bad taste that I want a sonic level of him dashing into cancer cells now?
That'd be kind of cool. Professor Guo, the corresponding author of the paper, said, "This presents the possibility of developing novel therapeutic strategies to block cancer progression, especially ligand-dependent cancer progression induced by HH signaling pathway." Now look, I'm not going to pretend I understand the majority of this damn story. All I understood was F cancer and being able to do something about it using a hedgehog. Nice job, scientist. You really take the golden rings.
Billy, I'd like to say, on behalf of the audience at home, we're proud that you didn't make a Ron Jeremy joke. The town of McMinnville, Oregon, is about an hour southwest of Portland in the heart of Oregon's charming wine country. There are vineyards you can ride your bike through and tasting rooms to sample their famous terroir-driven Pinot Noir. There's a walkable Rockwellian downtown lined with maple trees where you can catch a movie in a theater tucked inside of a pizza shop. Yeah. You can take your slice in, or duck into a store that specializes in artisanal jam. There's the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum, home to Howard Hughes' massive wooden spruce goose, and once a year, aliens.
Aliens migrate to Oregon in the spring?
Well, for one very special weekend each year since 1999, the town's population swells as thousands of ETs, Wookiees, Yodas, Coneheads, astronauts, and possibly the family from Third Rock, from the Sun, all show up for the annual McMenamin's UFO Fest, the largest of its kind outside of Roswell, New Mexico. This year, the close encounters happen on May 13th and 14th.
This means something.
Base camp is at the McManus Hotel, Oregon, built in 1905, boasting a rooftop bar with 360-degree views, perfect for spotting flying objects. And you may actually see one because, unlike some of those other UFO festivals out there, McMinnville's is inspired by an actual sighting in 1950 when farmers Evelyn and Paul Trent took what is now the most famous photographic evidence of a hovering UFO. The photos made national news and were even published in Life magazine. And to this day, they have yet to be debunked.
The truth is out there.
After a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic, Saturday, May 14th, we'll see the long-awaited return of the festival's UFO parade, when a crowd of costume-clad believers, and perhaps some actual aliens hiding in plain sight, will go marching around town. If you're there, you can also expect live music, vendors, an alien costume ball, and a stacked series of speaker events, including ufologist and writer Whitley Strieber.
Wow, that sounds like a really nice communion.
Shindigs and vendor fairs in and around the hotel are free, while tickets start at $25 for presenters. Especially dedicated guests can also buy a VIP pass that allow access to all speaker events. Real-life extraterrestrials planning to visit Earth for the big weekend, well, you guys feel free to park your starships wherever space will allow. Turn off the cloaking device, take the warp drive offline, and be sure to safely store the Illudium Q36 Explosive Space Modulator.
TikTok, where the masses go for their makeup tutorials, ASMR videos, giant mashups using the duet feature. And one of the big true secret weapons of TikTok is musicals. Over the last few years, TikTok has graced the world with several musicals featuring very talented people just bursting with creativity. Ratatouille the musical, Avatar the Last Airbender musical remain favorites. But yet another TikTok musical will soon emerge, with a very important moment in recent cultural history being showcased. Mexican Pizza the musical will follow the triumphant journey to bring back the iconic Taco Bell snack food.
Oh, this is certainly worth singing about. The pizzazz.
Singing will happen in Taco Bell the musical, because it's going to star Dolly Parton. The recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee teased the upcoming musical on Instagram.
Dolly is doing a Taco Bell musical? I will always love you, Dolly.
In late 2020, Taco Bell discontinued Mexican pizza. Doja Cat, who worked with Taco Bell for the 2022 Super Bowl commercial, is a massive fan of the late snack. In March, she dropped a chaotic song about Mexican pizza on TikTok, which in turn inspired TikToker Victor Kunda's own viral video, imagining what a rehearsal for Doja's Mexican pizza musical would look like. Obviously, she couldn't get enough of this perfect reimagining of her song.
Yeah, I bet she would write an amazing Turtles Still Coming Out of Our Shells show.
God, I'd watch that. Mexican pizza is indeed heading back to the menus May 19th, and the musical is happening for real. Dolly Parton, Doja Cat, Victor Kunda are among just three of the participants in the upcoming Taco Bell musical. Hannah Friedman wrote the book with Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear, who recently won a Grammy for their unofficial Bridgerton musical album, are behind the music. Produced by Live Mass Production, the musical debuts on TikTok on May 25th at 8 p.m. In the coming weeks, Taco Bell fans on TikTok can participate in fun challenges with the Mexican pizza the musical stars. And I apparently forgot to write something there.
Honestly, just ladies and gentlemen, this is why the internet exists.
That's perfect, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why the internet exists. GRD
yes,
is like...
It's not just for trolling little kids.
No.
It's not just for spreading hate. It is also for random nonsense like this.
Oh, my God.
Look at what we did to Sonic. We changed Sonic. We've bullied TikTok or Taco Bell into bringing back the Mexican pizza.
You do what we want.
Man, we should start doing some good with it, too.
Oh, that's a good plan. Blah, 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 geekradiodaily.com. Pretend we said it. And drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, a voicemail, text message. Share your love for Mexican pizza. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
Good night, everybody.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
That was the most extraordinary thing I have seen in my entire life.
I'm coming up with 32.33 repeating, of course, percentage of survival.
Well, it's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums, I'm
ready, guys.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, my God, he just ran in.
Save him.
Oh, geez, stick to the plane.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Let's go.
Stick
to the plane, chums.
Stick to the plane.
Oh, gee.
I can't move. Am I lagging, guys?
I can't move. What the hell?
I can't aim.
Oh, my God.
The eggs keep spawning. More responding.
I don't think you can cast with that shit.
Oh my God.
Jack,
I got it.
Oh my God.
God damn it, Leroy.
God damn it.
Leroy, you moron.
Leroy.
Jimmy.
This is ridiculous.
I'm on it.
Don't mask.
I'm down. Forking down.
Why do you do this shit, Leroy?
I'm trying.
Not my fault.
Who's Soulstone?
We do have a Soulstone up, don't we?
Oh, God.
Oh, for... Great job.
For Christ's sake. Leroy, you were just stupid as hell.
At least I have chicken.